Welcome to the City Point Church podcast. Thanks for joining us. Every day is an opportunity to take hold of. So we hope this message inspires you and builds your faith, that it helps you have more of a God perspective for your day. Enjoy.
Thank you very much. Thank you. You may take your seats. Happy Sunday to everybody. Oh, that's one of my go-to. I say happy Sunday because it's going to be a good day. I hope you got your Bibles here today. When you hear the pages of the Word whisking over or the swiping, we're not swiping left or right, but we're swiping up and down. Some of you get that. It's good. Some of you in the inner circle. 1 Kings chapter 5. 1 Kings chapter 5 if you get there. Really want to thank here on behalf of Pastor Mark and Lee Ramsey, great global pastors. Isn't it wonderful? 21 years of great leadership on our church network. Just wonderful to see the fruitfulness and the favor of God. And for Pastor Graham and Mel, watching you establish here. Now, I hope this is recorded because I love this prophetic theme of faith, love, and hope. It's a stewardship campaign, but the big idea is new horizons. It's about expansion. It's about great expectations. Friends, this is a powerful theme. I'm hearing that God was at work here last week. God's always at work, but sometimes he turns up and he really wants to let us know a bit more of his heart, what his future is for our church. There's healing power available to people. There's stories of breakthrough. There's a sense of high, high expectation. The worship this morning, I'm a bit of a worship junkie, and it's very hard to find a church that gets four bangers in a row and gets it right. The place was ready to lift off this morning, and when that happens, I start singing my own God song, and then I want to let you know, I wrote some notes. This is just live, and this is totally random. This is straight out of my journal. It goes like this. I just thought, as we were singing there, I just started singing, there's a mantle of victory on this church. There's a mantle, and I got this, I never had this before. There's a mantle of overcoming on this church. If I was you, I'd be coming in alignment with that slipstream. There's something about this faith, love, and hope season. If you invest, now I'm going to tell some stories in a moment, but if you invest in this, you come in the slipstream. This is what God wants to do. God wants to bring victory to your life, and he wants to bring overcoming. And then I got this two phrases, and they rhyme. I can't believe they even rhyme. So I'm thinking I might submit it to the worship team and there might be a song in this. But you're hearing this live. This only like happened 8 minutes ago. So this. The king is in this place and he's carrying his scepter of grace. Oh, how's that? See, that is so good. That came from God. I couldn't have come up with that. But don't you love that? His scepter of grace, there's a sense of authority, there's a sense of power. When the king is lifted up in this place, God wants to do a great work in your life. I agree with Pastor Gray. He wants to get healing. He wants to get breakthrough into your life. So that is totally off script this morning. Is that okay? I see a young man wearing a Chelsea jersey down there. Oh, I can preach as long as it's English Premier League. Did they win this morning? No way. They won the Champions League. My team's Tottenham Hotspur, so we've had a bad season. But at least I got faith. I can sense victory in the room already, all right? So I'm going to lean on that. It's funny, of all the lights, there's a light on a Chelsea jersey there, all right? So it's like battleships. C5, bing. I hope you're there at 1 Kings chapter 5 because we need to get going. There's a borderline. If you go between, if you've ever been to America and you go down, there's the next country over is called Mexico. And if you go there, there's a security line, there's intense security and there's a station there. And in some cases, in some parts there, there's a very, very, very big wall. There's a line there, there's a wall that determines clearly between us and them. And for some, it's just simply a line on a map, a chart, it's a geographical line. But it distinguishes between a large country, America, and another very large country, Mexico. When people hear the word America, often they think things like good education. They think things like money, opportunity. They can think a good lifestyle, paid work, a great place to raise your family. Say the word America, it's like sport, baseball, nice beaches. These are some of the things that people really want. These are things that people aspire to. And there's a lot going on that line. There's a lot of stopping and there's a lot of yearning on that line. There's a contest, there's a battle upon this line because there's a stark contrast between poverty and prosperity on that line. I was there in 2005 with some friends there, and as we're coming back over the border, there's this fence and I could see little holes in that, and I saw people looking through a little hole, through, and as you come up over the hill, you can see fields, green fields of prosperity and great crops. There was an amazing story that impacted me so much. Imagine like Jimmy Barnes was singing, I'm standing on the outside looking in. I'm standing on the outside looking in. Whoa. So some of you, I've just tapped into the 80s vibe. You thought, this is the kind of church I want to go to if you're visiting today. All right. But I just remember thinking, it's just that line is a powerful line. It's the link between opportunity and poverty for some. There's another line that I'm obviously regularly caught in. If you're on the Bruce Highway going north, everybody ever got stuck in traffic? And there's supposed to be three or four lanes. God help someone who tries to get into your lane. They've breached the boundary. They've crossed the line. I worked with this guy in Switzerland. We're driving up for this meeting to Zurich, and it's one car in, let one car, one go in. So he's a very proud European man. He lets somebody in graciously, and as he's the guy's going in, the guy's saying, say thank you, say thank you. Say, because you know you've got to do this wave thing, don't you? You got to do this wave. I'm a good wave. There's a different type of wave and there's a different type of finger gestures, and you can tell often by the speed that they're done and how many digits are shown. But there's this thing, you do this nice thank you. And so he's saying, say thank you. Say thank you. Say thank you. And he said, say thank you. And he beeped his horn. And I'm thinking, man, that's a little bit intense. I'm thinking, all it is a line, man. All it is a line. But for him, it was a very, very big line. Look what's happening in Utah at the moment. Hopefully the screen will come up now. This picture here. For some of you, it's a lane, not a birthright. Let them merge. Isn't that good? For some, you've got a battle line going on a boundary line. And for some of you, this is the word of the Lord for you today. Let it go. I can start singing a song. Let it go. Let it go. Ladies, do not nudge your husband right now, okay? This is not a moment. This is not a moment for that. 30 years ago, I was in a great youth group, Garden City Church. It was one of the largest youth groups at the time. God was doing an amazing work, power of Holy Spirit through that. And the leader, young guy, who every girl at the time wanted to go out with at the time, got hurt in church life, as we all do from time to time. Has anybody ever been disappointed or hurt in church life? Okay, so anyway, I'm with the right crowd this morning. And I just remembered at that time, he let bitterness get into his spirit because something happened then. And literally, I saw him recently, 35 years later on Facebook, and he is bitter and he is twisted and he is still holding on to the battle and the scars that he had back then. And a young guy, exceptional musician, great preacher, but never got over a significant battle line in his life, a boundary that he was meant to cross from challenge into life to grow and to make him even better. And I thought, the guy has simply hijacked the destiny of his life. Pastor Jean and I, we've been reading in our Bibles early in the morning, and we've reflected deeply on the contours of our life, the boundaries of our life, and how the decisions we've made when we've partnered with God's wisdom have led to many seasons of favor, happiness, and great joy for ourselves, for our family tribe, and those in our sphere of influence. And in our collective experience, we've come to realize that our lives, as are many of yours, they're characterized by a series of boundary lines, battle lines, side lines, front lines, and even lines that we've drawn in the sand. Some of us have even had to cross the line on an issue or an important decision that we've made. There's times like we have, just like you have, crossed the line from an old issue, an old belief system, something we thought was important, a challenge, and then we've decided to move across with God's strength to a place of victory and to a place of freedom. And we've seen literally the boundary lines of our life start to expand in influence and power, often for the benefit of other people. So in this message today, I want to bring an encouragement to us today, and I want to help us to chart a course to live our lives wisely so that we can take God's word seriously and apply it in very important areas of our life, because this is some thoughts I've got up here. When we get this right, it's coming. I'm just always kind to the guy. Well, maybe I didn't send it to him. Maybe, here we go. What did it say? Next one. No, it's all right. Anyway, I'll read from my notes here. Like, when we need to focus our life and our family boundary lines, when we need to draw wise lines on certain issues, when we need to rework some circles of influence and some boundary lines, when we need to draw a line in the sand on some issues and some pain, when we need to establish a protective circle or a boundary line around our world and our loved ones where somebody is breaching right now. And quite frankly, some of us realize that we've been known for standing on a soapbox of an issue, which is like we're just banging on about something and it's time that we've had to give up on those kinds of things. So today, the message, a short thought I've got for you today is building and believing for a life of victory and how to establish the right lines of fighting and favor in our lives. It's all about getting the balance right, friends, the right lines of fighting, the boundaries of favor in all seasons. So I'm going to call this message, if you like Sesame Street, this message is brought to us by the letter B. I got a letter B and it says this. It's about the beautiful balance of boundary lines, battle lines, and bounty lines. Turn to your neighbor and say, that preacher, he's a smart guy today, all right? It's the beautiful balance of boundary lines, battle lines, and battle lines, all right? It's going to really help some people. You there, 1 Kings 5? I love this. Two heroes of the faith have got King David. You got King Solomon, a power team. And it says here, verse 1, when Hiram, king of Tyre, heard that Solomon had been anointed king to succeed his father David, he sent envoys to Solomon because he had always been on friendly terms with David. Verse 2, now Solomon sent back this message to him. You know that because of the wars waged against my father David from all sides, he could not build a temple for the name of the Lord his God until the Lord put his enemies under his feet. But now the Lord my God has given me rest on every side, and there is no adversary from disaster. Verse 5, I intend therefore to build a temple for the name of the Lord my God, as the Lord told my father when he said, your son, whom I will put on the throne in your place, will build the temple for my name. Verse 6, so give orders that cedars of Lebanon be cut for me. My men will work with yours, and I will pay for your men whatever wages you set. You know that we have no one so skilled in felling timber as the Sidonians. When Hiram heard Solomon's message, he was greatly pleased and said, praise be the Lord today, for he has given David a wise son to rule over a great nation. Here is a wonderful passage, friends, that can highlight the ways that our life can go. There are battle lines, there are boundary lines, and then there are bounty lines. Here you have King Solomon. He's in the sweet spot of his life. He's had a fantastic leadership succession transition. He's in a place of peace. He's in a place of rest. There's no conflict. He is in a good place. This is what happened, friends, when mums and dads make wise decisions. There is generational advantage paid forward to the next generation, from father to son. This is how we get national benefit, national prosperity, and national peace. Solomon had been set up for success, and we see here the benefits of godly wisdom in play. It said he had rest on every side, which means he had favorable boundaries. He had sweet contours. There were bold lines there. It said he was circled. He was circled and protected from a place of battle and conflict. So instead of a ring of fire and a ring of conflict, we see words like all around, surrounded. We see cotton wool almost, like favor, favorable bounty lines in this situation. And can I say, friends, this is generally the place where God wants us to live as his believers. This is one of the hallmarks of a life of a healthy believer, is that over in time, you move in increasing levels of victory and breakthrough in your life. See, I'm not naive to say that in our lives as a believer, we will never have conflict. In fact, contrary, the Bible says this. John 16, verse 33, and this is Jesus, the wise master, said this, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Now, if I was reading John 16 again, writing, that trouble should be trouble with a capital T. Some of us have had trouble with a capital T in our lives, but we know when we partner with God over time, this too shall pass. Things have a season, things have a life cycle. I love this in Ephesians 6, verse 10 and 12. It says this, finally, people of City Point North, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual force of evil in heavenly realms. Friends, there was a battle this morning. Parts of hell woke up and there was a whiteboard with your name on it, and there are schemes and strategies to try and thwart the plan of God in your life. A church like this who worships like this in victory and power, all of a sudden you become, got to pull out another whiteboard. We've got to develop another strategy. These guys are getting stronger than we ever thought we could. We thought, oh, we'd put some seeds of contention and a bit of church gossip in there. That usually fixes churches. But what we're seeing is you guys are strong. You guys are powerful because you're seeing the devil's play for what he's doing. God wants to establish victory and favor in your life. Can I suggest this? In some parts, warfare is business as usual for a believer. You're fighting the devil, we're fighting temptation, we're fighting the flesh, and we're fighting the spirit of this world. But together, we are strong together. So I'm not here to say it's all about bounty and victory, but there is a part of God will teach us how to fight. And today, part of what I'm doing to do is I'm teaching you how, this is like a fight club this morning. I'm giving you training and we're shadow boxing because I'm going to tell you how to fight well and how to win the victory for the generations which is yet to come. Can I say this? Generally in our lives, there is a season of fighting, a season of contention. We take spiritual weapons, we take our attitudes and our approach, the power of God in our heart and life, and then we find that we get a sense of victory, and there's often a season of peace and calm. It's established, we take new ground, fight comes, new levels, new devils. This is how it works, because God wants us to continue to move in greater levels of increase. At every season, there's spoils for the fight, there's victories that we've gained, and that becomes fuel for the next season. We know this in these seasons, God is fighting with us and he is fighting for us and he is not against us. And there's a big idea from this passage here. I'll move to the next one. Excessive wars, unnecessary conflict, excessive gossip, these all distract us from the main game. They divert attention, they waste resources, they waste time, it reduces productivity, they impede traction, they stop momentum. Nothing advances. These sorts of things, if left going on too long beyond their season, hamper the building of the house of God, and they thwart the advancement of God's work in this beautiful community here at Caboolture. This is what the devil wants us to do. He wants us to focus on this. So how about here right now? Say, Holy Spirit, go across my heart. Help me now. Are we living in a season of peace and bounty, or are you being distracted by unnecessary and prolonged conflict and agitation? For some of you this morning, the word of the Lord is, the season is over. You need to stop it. It's time to move on. God wants to build a good work and a deep work in your life. So coming back to my big idea brought to us by the letter B, it's a beautiful balance of boundaries, the right battle lines and bounty lines in all seasons. So here's my big idea number one to close that point, which is this. Conflict will always be an inevitable part of our lives, but it is not God's permanent plan for your life. God is the God of peace and Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Now, some of you got your word from God, you can go home now, but I wouldn't go home because of great coffee and the great connection time outside is yet to come. So can I just say that there's a locality where God wants to position you as his people. It's meant to be a place where you will flourish and grow in common unity with other people. That's the idea of community. We're in common unity together. I call that expression, as does the Bible, this is the local church family. This is a place where we can say, this is us, we are the people of God, and it just so happens to be in this season, it's City Point North, and we're part of a great apostolic church network with 10 locations globally. There's strength and there's power in that, friend. And in here is a circle of love, it's a circle of safety, It's a place with sovereign boundary lines, and there's some well-crafted battle lines around our church here, and there's generous bounty lines. Over time, you'll find you're connected to a healthy local church, your life will advance further than it will on your own. So God has a pattern to set lonely people in families, and he wants, and that's why it's a beautiful story for people who adopt and foster young babies. It's God's plan to bring them in, to engraft them into a place of safety and security. The psalmist talks about this further in Psalm 16. I love this psalm. This song, if you're looking for a psalm, a real banger on a Monday morning, this is a psalm of confession and confidence in God and his greatness, and it exemplifies a deep trust in God, both in life and death. So it says in verse 1, "Keep me safe, O God, for in you I take refuge. I said to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing." Verse 3, "As for the saints who are in the land, they are glorious ones in whom all my delight. The sorrows of those will increase who run after other gods. I will not pour out their libations of blood or take up their names on my lips." This is verse 5. "Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure." Verse 6, "The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance." Goes on 11, "You have made me known to me the path of life with boundaries on the side. You fill me with joy in your presence, and with eternal pleasures are at your right hand." That's where we get the verse. In your presence is fullness of joy. Powerful Psalm 16. But what verse 6 says is, the boundary lines, was it, of my life have fallen in favourable places. Some of you have seen a TV show called Location, Location, Location. This is what it's about. It's about position, position, position. In the Amplified version, it says this, "The boundary lines of the land have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, my heritage is beautiful to me." In the TPT, I love that, TPT, the Psalms, it says this, "I'm overwhelmed by the privileges that come with following you, for you have given me the best, my God." So here's my big idea number 2. God wants the boundary lines of your life to be bounty lines. God wants the boundary lines of your life to be bounty lines. He wants the contours of your life, the direction, the shape of your life, they are meant to be in places of peace, blessing, and favor. Your sphere of influence is ultimately designed to be a pleasant area. And for some of you looking for more support, look at verse 5. It says, "Lord, you have assigned to me my portion, my cup. You have made my lot secure." If you look at the Hebrew word for lot, it means this. It means my portion. It means my destiny. It means my future. God's future, God's plan for you is actually a place of blessing. And God has gone to tremendous lengths to establish his provision, like little wells that we're to dig up of provision and blessing that he wants to get to us. And this is the life that God wants for us. My wife and I reflect regularly about the goodness of God. We do have a practice of gratitude and thankfulness because I don't do it for this reason, but if you're thankful, I can hear my Auntie Julie right now. She would say in that, you know, when we're cutting each other off in road rage, and she'd go, "Andrew, in the light of eternity, does it really matter?" It's true. Auntie Julie also said this, "Please and thanks are two keys that open up every door. If you say one, you get some. If you say both, you get more." For some of you pairing today, I'm going to write that down. Come and see me at the end of the thing, and But Auntie Julie, she's an awesome one thing. But we just said, we've just come to marvel at the season of our life, the fruit that have come into our life because of taking his strategy, how to fight the right battles the right way and turning battle lines into bounty lines. We've seen in this season the leadership and the influence of our college expand over the last 5 years. We've just seen opportunities to travel and influence and to speak wisdom. God's given us new levels of revelation, intelligence to help people in difficult problems. Like even like this time last year, just before COVID, I was in and out of Singapore on our way to India to open up some new opportunities there. This is a life of bounty and a life of favor. There's things we were able to get into a new home last year, just things that, And it came as a result after a faith, love, and hope pledge thing, all right? This is what happens. You're directed by God because he does want to get blessing to you and through you, as your pastor Gray said. Psalm 16, verse 6 again. The boundary lines of the land have fallen for us in pleasant places. Indeed, our heritage is beautiful to us. That's the prayer that we've declared. We've altered the words to make this word very powerful to our life. So I don't have time to get in the whole other point in point two, that God wants our bounty lines to be expanding. Bounty lines, like the prayer of Jabez, God, enlarge me. There's a whole new other preaching message around that. We don't have time for that today. But I'm really challenging you. God wants to get blessing and he wants to get favor in your life. So big idea number three is this. We need to understand that we need to understand the battle lines in our lives, the ones we choose, and then the ones that we need to avoid. The ones we choose and the ones that we should avoid. See, as we were trekking through the Word of God, John and I, we go through Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings. What we've seen is we've seen numerous mentions of the word battle lines. There's often points of contention in every season for the people of God, which I've mentioned before. Battle lines throughout all these books of the Bible is generally a code word for some epic showdown or for some really serious fight, more than just your average cat fight in the schoolyard or a bit of a biff in the local high school. We're talking about serious conflict with the people of God of need to do with. To take this story, here's a little cameo in 1 Samuel 17, 1-3. It says, now the Philistines gathered their forces for war and assembled at Succo in Judah. It says, they pitched camp at this place called Ephes Damin between Succo and Azekah. This is 1 Samuel 17, 1-3, for those who are taking notes. Look at verse 2. Saul and the Israelites assembled and camped in the valley of Elah and drew up their battle lines to meet the Philistines. And the Philistines occupied one hill and the Israelites together with a valley in between them. It's an amazing scenario if you can picture it. And many of us have been around church life a long time. And we know this story. We've heard this story. You can visualize it. Two hills, two battles, and there's a battle line in between. Now, to cut the story short a little bit, you go along to verses Samuel 17, 42-48, you literally see David come out and he takes Goliath on and there's this verbal smack talk exchange going down. And basically the Philistine giant derides the young anointed future king of Israel. And you see here David is so indignant. Basically, he says this, you have got no right to speak about my people and my God that way. And this is what he did. He took him on, and it says in verse 48, if that's going to come up, it says, as the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Here's an example of a young man in the right season. Like, I'm thinking, why would you run towards a battle line when I've set up the context that we're meant to have a life of warfare and some on, some off. Why would you run towards a battle line? Why just not stick to focusing on peace and harmony? Why don't we just focus on a sovereign boundary line and God's generous bounty lines? I tell you why, friends, because some fights are worth fighting for. And this may be a word for some of you this morning. There's some issues that you do need to take on. There are some things that come your way, which are literally, if they are well handled with God's strength, a battle line can turn into a bounty line with God, with God's favor. And there's a way to work with well-crafted battle lines, and in a God season, we take key things on. There's a couple of things I've had to, as the leader of my home, make a stand on, and there's some things really worth fighting for. Our family never opens the door to the occult. There is no Halloween. There is no those Halloween movies and all that sort of stuff. I've just seen as a young youth pastor working with kids who had a seance at walked around with an Ouija board at a local cemetery. About that time, McDonald's, this is back in the 1990s, McDonald's had this crazy brain snap. They had a McDonald's ad and had a Ouija board spelling Mac McDonald's. I remember I got a group of my friends together. That ad was gone within a week because that was a battle line that's worth fighting for. And there's some things that we see in our world and community, that you, as even as a mum and dad, you say, that is not allowed in my home. My kids would say this, Dad, you always walk into the room when there was like some homosexual activity on TV. What is it? I said, I don't have an anointing, but I just know I stand in authority in my home and that stuff is not going to be part of my life. So for some of you today, I'm stirring up faith in your parenting. Pray accurately and say, God, give us wisdom about which lines are we going to draw, because if you draw the right battle line and do that and fight the world, it actually becomes a bounty line of favour that your kids don't generationally have to deal with that after. I remember my mum in grade 9 saying, Andy, what are you reading? I was saying, oh, I'm reading this book. It's about, it had poltergeists in it. And I didn't really know what a poltergeist was. It was a mysterious spirit. She goes, what's your teacher's name? Mr. Jackson. I'm going to go see Mr. Jackson tomorrow. And my mum went up to the school and I just watch her standing there like, I'm grade 9, so I'm like, I'm 13. Hands pulled up really high. And I just watched my mum gently say, we don't do that in our family. And could you organise another book for Andrew to read? I remember sitting there in class, we're reading our books, and mate turned around, why are you reading The 39 Steps by John Le Carré? And they go, did your mummy go and talk to Mr. Jackson? And I just remember sitting there having no sense of, my mum set a battle line which became a bounty line which generationally has brought forward into my family. It's okay. I remember pulling my kids out of one school because there was a Christian school and they had 5 examples where they were talking about occult stuff but they weren't having their family devotion, the devotion section in the school. And guys, we're kicking own goals. Like, I signed up with a prospectus which said, we're doing this. I'm paying $10,000 a year. And they just said, we can't see the... What's your point, Mr. Staggs? It was just obvious that we had to part ways because my job is to educate my children and I partner with other people to get them educated, but I'm ultimately responsible for the education of my children. So that wasn't even in my notes, but I just felt to say that. I'm not a fighter, I'm a lover. But there's some things that you just need to make a stand on, and I want to really encourage you around that today. I've stood outside the bedrooms of my children while they've been sleeping, that my children will always walk in the ways of God, and there is some tough seasons we've had. I remember lying on my son's bed, and I got the idea, this is what Elijah did and rose someone up from the dead. I lay on his bed and says, my son will serve the Lord because that's his prophetic destiny. So fast forward 5 years from that, he's just going gangbusters. But I thought, no one else is going to pray for my son like I am. The youth, I can't expect the youth pastor to do it. He hasn't even been to City Point Ministry Bible College yet, so he doesn't even know how to pray properly. But I just realized I have to stand there. I've laid down on things. I've said no to certain parties. I said, no, let's have parties at our place because that way I can monitor the culture a little bit more. Sorry, teenagers, if I'm setting your mum and dad up for success right now, but the stories my mum found out what we used to do, and no wonder she turned grey early because we've just got to get this stuff right. We fight in the spirit, we fight in the devil. Prayer in our homes. For some reason, the hardest thing, done a lot of work with marriages, it's documented, the hardest thing for husband and wives to do often is to pray together. Why is that? I know it's a funky thing to do, but I'd say, guys, just grab your wife's hand today and do a sneaky 10-second prayer today, sometime today. God bless our family, bless our marriage. Before you know it, your wife doesn't even know what happened, but she will thank you for that. Because our families are worth fighting for, friends. These are areas that the devil does not ask to be strong. So I've also learned as I close this point, in being a strategic fighter, I've learned that I don't have to turn up to every fight that I'm invited to. There are some fights that I just walk away from. As you can see, I'm a little bit of a passionate guy, a little bit emotional. I'm invited to a lot of stuff. My opinion on something, there's something that I've come to realize. This is what gray hair does for you after a while. You learn a bit of wisdom. I don't have to turn up to every fight that I'm inviting for, but the fight of eternity is really important in the life of our children. So I love the story of Joshua, and there was trouble in the land. He says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. There's another verse that death was in the land, and it says Moses drew a line in the sand between the living and the dead and said, death, you shall come no further. There's a moment where we take a stand, and those strategic battle lines can actually become bounty lines. In number 16, the plague was stopped when a man or a woman of God stepped in and said, death, you shall come no further. Some of us need to draw a line in the sand in some issues, as I said. I remember launching a church back in 2005 out in Greater Springfield. We had a joint venture going with a family home, and the solicitor mucked up the contract. All of a sudden, our family got subpoenaed to pay $8,000 in stamp duty. I just remember just thinking, what the heck? We rang them up and they go, oh yeah, we made a mistake. Yeah, take us to the law commission. I'm just thinking, right, you're mine. I'm an epic letter writer. I remember just thinking, okay, I'll write a letter. It was a strategic time in the planning of this church. I remember my mum coming to me and say, Andy, let's just go halves in the money. We've got to walk away from this. You will win. There's no doubt, Andrew, you always win. But this will take up 1 year of your time to win. You have to walk away from this one. And I remember thinking, that church gone gangbusters. It's now a Hillsong campus out there. I'm just wondering what would have happened if I had picked the wrong fight on the wrong battle line because it was the wrong season. And sometimes it's time to let things go. So here's a couple of really practical thoughts as we move. I want to pray with you and I want to bless you. Here's how to pick your battle lines in advance, and I help a lot of people with this. Could I suggest you this? If you've got a scenario, a difficult one you're dealing with right now, start to practice your scripts of what you might say. Some of you maybe not be quick on your thinking, and the other person you're talking to, they're very quick and they can tie you up. You know, they trick your mind because you just need a bit more time. I encourage people, write out your scripts, what you're going to say, and practice them so you get used to saying them. So in the pressure of a tough interaction, you've already had the fight in advance with God's strength on your time in your way, all right? And so some people might be, when you say it like that, you hurt my feelings. Like, just say things like that. I often find if you're in a tough fight, you could say something like this: what you're saying doesn't feel very fair. Australians like fairness. You put the word in there, that doesn't sound fair. It often opens the other person's heart up, okay? This is really just helpful, practical. I'm really helping your people here today. Can I just say, you plan in advance to respond, not to react. You can think about this. God wants us to live lives of harmony. He wants to help us in this area. Number two, Proverbs 15 verse 1 says, a gentle response diffuses anger. For some of you, this is your key. Try a gentle response this week. You may get a different answer because it says a sharp tongue kindles a temper fire. My wife is a master of this. She gently comes in. She has this way of getting people to agree with her. I love that. There's an anointing to do that. It's just a kindness. Sometimes kindness is the wrong strategy. For some of you, assertiveness is the right strategy. Number three, remember this, that hurt people hurt people. Angry people generally aren't angry at you. They're angry often at themselves and they're embarrassed about themselves, but it sounds like they're angry at you. Sometimes the people you're dealing with are just angry. So don't take that on personally. Number four, did any of you learn anything about last Christmas with difficult family 5 months ago? There's some keys in there that help you for this Christmas. We have this rule. Sometimes some members of our family networks, like seafood, you're together more than 24 hours, it starts to stink. So we have a 24-hour rule with one part of our family. We never stay longer than 24 hours. The minute hits 24 hours and 30 minutes, it just goes funky for some reason. So learn how to live a life of strength so you're not always on battle lines all the time, okay? What about this? Are you known to be consistently banging on about the same thing? We look across this room right now. Oh, that's their soapbox. That's what they're all going on. Sometimes it's time to burn the soapbox, friend. Move on. If you don't have a group of people willing to support you in that argument, maybe it's time to burn that thing and move on and build another issue. For some of you, that's the word of the Lord. Avoid people who've got a long history of trying to establish factions and sides. You know those sort of people. I'd encourage you, steer clear of them and gently remove yourself. Some people have got a contentious spirit. And I decided a long time ago, I don't want to align with that. That's what cancer does. Cancer takes a life force of that and builds its own coalition and builds its own thing of death. That's what tumors do. It takes a life force within a body. That's what happens when people try and come alongside and build a coalition. Oh, you know what they're saying? And often it links with a gossipy type tone. Some of you need to unfollow some people on Facebook. Their world does not need to be coming and impacting in your world. This is how you're going to live a life of freedom, a life of peace, and a life of hope. Some you need to cancel some email subscriptions to some things you're getting. Detox your life from some emotional barnacles that are trying to come around you, and you'll move to a place of those bounty lines. Number 8, don't turn up to every fight you're invited to, like I said before. Some of you need to draw a line in the sand. Some of you today need to say, we're going to say no to debt today. No to debt. We're going to go from cash from now on. Some of you decided there's going to be no more sulking in my marriage today. Sulking is a strategy that's worked for you for a long time, but today you decide no more sulking. Do not nudge your spouse right now in Jesus' name. It's time to make a decision. That one decision will move you from bondage, and you're going to move to bounty. You're moving from death to life. I'm helping some people today. Please, I don't need it, but please encourage the preacher right now. Please. I've got 2 more to go. It's faith, love, and hope season. Some of you literally can go from bondage to bounty by deciding for the very first time to move into the faith zone, to position yourself across a line. For some of you, got this thing about money and church. I'm encouraging you, that's an old thought, an old mindset, which is not going to get you to a place of freedom. I'm encouraging for some of you today, today's the day you decide, next 7 days, my wife and I are working out our amount and our pledge down at Carindale. But for some of you, whatever amount you've got right now, God's saying, I want you to double it. I remember the time I thought I was going to give $500 back as a 21-year-old, and God said, I want you to double it. $1,000. $1,000. For some of you, it's a doubling, a moving. Wait till you get to this zone. You think that was challenging. I remember the day I was going to give $1,000. God says, I want you to put a 0 on the end of it, Andrew. When we gave that money, literally within half an hour, the floodgates of heaven opened up. Because I did it under the sovereign appointment from God. These aren't tricks, friends. This is something, God, what do you want me to do? I remember the first time I heard a man get up and say, the first time I gave my first $10,000 gift, something inside my left my spirit said, I'm not at that level yet, but I want to get to that level. So I'm helping some of you today. I'm leading you through a faith journey because you're going to move from something that's a battle line at the moment. God wants to get you, move you towards a generous bounty line of increased favor and expansion in your life. I really know I'm helping some people here today. God's doing a sovereign work. So hopefully I've got these last things on my screen. Right now, what have we got? We got another slide with a whole heap of points on the end. Is it going to come? No, it's all right. It's all right. I'll read them out. So me, I like to see things because I'm a visual person. So I'll sort of say them in such a way. So I'd say for some of you, expect a favorable boundary line in a key area. I'm going to pray for you in a moment. So you might go, yeah, Pastor Andrew, that's me, number one. I really want to expect a shift in a difficult area this morning. Some of you may be at the moment drifting in a key area. You're drifting without intentionality, and you're allowing some battles, and they're in your sphere of influence, and it's really God saying, I want you to be living in the realm of Psalm 16, verse 6. What's meant to be a boundary line is still a battle line, and this should have been sorted out a long time ago. Some of you today may decide to walk away from a battle line like we did with that stamp duty thing, brush the dust off your feet and move and bank yourself a lesson in wisdom and just move on. Some of you just need to regroup, pull away from a particular battle line, get a better strategy, and go back in and fight a different way. If you've been fighting the same way 4 or 5 times, it's time for a new strategy. The battle may still be worth it, but it's time to try a new strategy. Some of you might just need to think, I just need to get more wise counsel in my battle lines. We've given you a lot of free counsel here today, a lot of wisdom. Some of it's God wisdom for your specific situation. And I'd say encourage you, pick your battles wisely. In the light of eternity, is this really worth it? I know a pastor who kicked his son out of the house because he left a wet towel on the floor. He regrets that decision 4 decades later. He said, I picked the wrong battle and I lost my son, and my son lost his destiny. to one of us. You just got to pick the right fights. For some of you, it's time to get on the front line. Some of you are sitting on the bench, it's time to get off the bench and get into the front lines. The work of God, the community of God needs you here today. And for some of you, this is the best thing. You're all so excited before, now it's gone a bit quiet in here. I'm going to pray for you. Some of you need to think like what David did, and you've got to think about what your battle line trophy is. One of the best bits of the fight with Goliath was this. He knocked him down, he went and got that big sword, and he chopped off his head. I reckon he picked it up by the long hair, takes it home. How was your day today, son? And I reckon he plonked it on the table. And to me, you know what this trophy was? That was, he was allowed to marry the king's daughter. He was in a place of honor. He had a tax-free income for the rest of his life. How good's that? Some of you need to focus on what are the spoils of the battle you're facing. For some of you, the vision is generationally, my children will be builders and planters of the house of the Lord. There is generational blessing coming to our family. No more alcoholism. We're not characterized by debt. We are well-educated people. The forces of life and hell will not come against us. We are strong and we are resilient. This is God's plan for your family. Let's stand, shall we? I'm going to pray for you. I've run out of steam, which is good. I'm going to pray. If you want me to pray for you, I'm going to pray for expanding battle lines. Put your hands out in front of you as an expression of faith. I know who I'm praying for. This is New Horizon season at City Point Church. Faith, love, and hope. This is New Horizons. It's a season for expansion. Wow. And I'm going to pray for people at the end here too. If you want me to come pray for a specific situation, I'm happy to hang around and do that. But dear Jesus, we thank you for your plans of peace and victory in our lives. And God, we thank you for the leadership of our church, this prophetic theme of new horizons, expansion, new contours of blessing and favor, bountiful bounty lines in Jesus' names. So God, we prophesy, we declare, we decree victory and breakthrough in salvation in our children, in our marriages, in our homes, in our workplace, in our mind, and in our spirit. God, we love Romans 8:31 that says this, if you are for us, then who can be against us? And God, help us to align our hearts and our minds and our decisions with your plans and purposes for peace and for expansion in our family. Help us, God, to live wisely and undertake the God battles with your help. God, I pray sovereignly a new anointing of victory, a new mantle of overcoming to rest powerfully on your people today. Bless their obedience to you like I know you will, but in abounding measure this week. I pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen, and amen.
Thank you. Yeah, let's put our hands together for Pastor Andrew. Just amazing. I think we all just went silent because we're listening in going, which one applies to me? It's so good. I just have this real sense this morning as I was listening to that message. You need to know that some of these things are extremely hard to get through. That's the battle line. But the victory is always on the other side. And whether it be in your marriage or with your children or with your perception of church or God, whatever it might be in your world, can I encourage you today to take these seeds and water them in your life and make that decision, you know what, I am going to change the way I speak to my wife. I am going to change, and actually, let's take that step. It can be fearful, but take the step and you'll see there's a sense of joy with every step you take. And then when you get to the other side of the line, you'll look at that dirty old line and you used to go, man, I used to look up to that line, but now it's behind me, the new foundation, amen. You receive that? So good. You know, one of the greatest lines that many of us have walked across is giving our hearts to God. And this here is one of, it can be a fearful moment. And sometimes we look at this line and we shy away from it because the truth is God is calling you to step over into a whole new life. The Bible says that when we give our hearts to God, we are born again. We are new creations. It's a new opportunity. And that can be difficult sometimes because we know the old us and we don't know where God's taken us. But let me tell you, the message today is he's taken you into victory. He's taken you into greener pastures. He's taken you into a life that you have always been destined for. So right now, what we're going to do is, if you've never given your heart to God, you have that opportunity right now, which is just amazing. And so if that's you, could you just boldly right now lift your hand just so I can see who we're about to pray with? And we'll pray with you together. Just boldly, I'm just going to look a couple of times. I see your hand there, sir. Is there anyone else? You can put that down. Is there anyone else here this morning? You just want to make this amazing decision. Just going to look. I know there's someone else. Yeah, I see your hand there. God bless you this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, for someone right now, that battle is happening for you. Just take that step. Like, just pull your hand up. Get your right hand, pull your left hand up. I just need to see your hand this morning. There's somebody else. Thank you, God. I see your hand there, ma'am. God bless you. Awesome. Three people giving their hearts to God. Hey, church, can we all repeat out loud after me with these people? And if you're that person today, own this as your first prayer as a Christian. Okay, church, repeat after me. God, I give you my heart. I thank you for your forgiveness, that you've washed my past clean. And with confidence, I step over the line and I give you my heart. I am now a daughter or a son of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Awesome.